20% off?
I'm in.
I feel better to know that other passengers are screened.
If we can keep the safety, I think we need it.
I mean, I'm concerned that flying is made as safe as possible, and if that's required, then, you know, I'm not going to cause a fuss.
With the holidays rapidly approaching, everybody's talking about enhanced airport pat-downs plus the body scanners. It truly is the water cooler buzz. I read something earlier today about the fact that the economy in some ways must be turning around because they expect an 11% surge in at least Thanksgiving travel. That's according to AAA. Now, that's on the highways. When we're talking about flights, go ahead and try to book a flight to some of these major places where your family or friends might be gathering, whether it's Chicago or Philadelphia or L.A. or Miami or wherever, or Dallas, Texas, and you might find yourself paying through the nose if you can even get a seat. There have been a lot of people who've called this show, who have emailed the show and say they cannot believe what's happening at the airports. I've checked with people on the East Coast and on the West Coast. I've talked to, actually tonight, someone from the TSA who didn't want to go on the air, but about what are the procedures and what are people truly saying. What you just heard there, those were people who were asked about the security measures in San Francisco, and you could tell they didn't necessarily have a problem with it. But then you hear these stories, for example, of a young child being, you know, patted down, a toddler, a kid who's 2 years old, basically, or under 2 years old. And then there was the story about the nun and the pat downs. Where does this all go? The pilots unions, at least for American Airlines, they don't like it. They're lobbying to not have the pilots have to go through these procedures, and they're in and out of the airports all day long. Who better to have on this show than our pal Denny Kelly, airline security expert, former pilot. Denny, what do you make of the pilots saying, listen, this is humiliating, and then the thing about the radiation, because now they have to go, as you know, as you traveled, they have to go back and forth so much that they really are exposed to more radiation, let's face it, than everybody else. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, there's no question they are. I mean, the estimates, I've heard different people, different experts saying that if by going through the x-ray machine four times a week is the same as getting four x-rays, chest x-rays a week, and it's dangerous. And some of these, you know, these pilots, it wouldn't be unusual for them to go through four times in one day. It wouldn't be unusual for them to go through 40 times in a month. So, you know, they definitely have a problem, and it's going to be interesting to see how it's solved. And also, not only the pilots, but the flight attendants, same way.
Oh yeah, you see, and of course they're talking to the government. They are talking to a certain group in Congress, one of the committees, the Transportation, of course, Committee, and had conversations. The travel industry actually had conversations with Janet Napolitano about, whoa, now we're worried that people aren't going to fly. I still think when you have to get somewhere, even though there are a lot of people that will cry for a boycott, people will ultimately, if they have to get there, they'll fly, don't you?
Of course they will. I mean, you know, we're kind of trapped in the system. We have to put up with this security because that's the only way you can get on an airplane, and yet in reality, the system is completely broken. The security, as I've said this many times, security today is not any better than it was on September the 10th, 2001. It's just that they have better looking uniforms. the very first thing that they need to do, and these politicians are afraid to do it, is to profile. You've got to profile the passengers. And that would go a long way into making the system more, you know, more credible and safer. They've been profiling in Europe and for years and years. I mean, I remember going through London back in the middle 80s and being profiled both as a passenger and as a crew member. And you just got to profile. And that's the first thing. The second thing is they need different equipment. It's not necessarily x-ray equipment, but there's other equipment out there that they can use that can do inspections, and also that can make sure that the person that has that ticket in their hand that has a name on it is the same person that's carrying the ticket. And all of this stuff can be done. The problem is of course, that it takes little money and nobody wants to pay for it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've said the same thing about profiling. Having traveled in Europe, I agree 100%. But that's, you know, you and I are put in a different category for saying that, that the PC police, you can't do that. But yet everybody wants to compare airline security here to Israel and to Europe and what they do.
Sure.
And you're right. That's exactly what they do, Denny. They
that's
all
exactly
profile.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a shame because people think they're getting this really good security, and they're not. And the people are, and the problem is the people are being abused in many, many ways, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, if you're abused by the TSA, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump to something else, this crazy stuff with what's going on with Qantas Airlines and a couple of their airplanes. Was it the A380s and a Boeing 747? Now they're saying there might be some problems with that. What do you make of this?
Well, it's actually not the airplane as much as it is the engines. They're Rolls-Royce engines. They're Trents. They're Trent 900s and Trent 1000s. The engines are basically the same. They just have a little different core to them. But what's happened is that they've discovered that there's a problem with that engine, with the basic engine, and they're coming apart in flight. It's not just Qantas. I mean, they've had problems with Lufthansa's had some problems, and Singapore's had some problems, and it's only the airplanes that have the Rolls-Royce Trent engines on them. And what people don't know, and they didn't publicize, was that when the Qantas 380, when they lost that engine and it came apart, they had a lot of other problems with that airplane because the debris from the engine explosion damaged other parts of the airplane. They had no leading edge flaps. They had minimum flight controls. They had problems with the brakes on that airplane. And when they got on the ground, they couldn't shut down one of the engines because the fuel controller had been damaged. And the fire department had to flood the engine with water to get it to shut down. So, you know, that airplane is all, you know, it's all computer driven. And even though these people want to deny that could happen, when you have an airplane that's all computer driven and you damage part of the computer, you're going to lose a bunch of stuff and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what happened to him. It was an extremely dangerous situation.
Yeah. Do you think they should take them off the line?
Absolutely.
I think
they should remove all these engines, go through them, and make sure that they're what they should be. And if they find a problem, they should replace it and fix it. I think they know now what they need to do to fix them. It's just, you know, what do you think it costs to ground the 380s, all the 380s with the Rolls-Royce engines, and all the 747s with the Rolls-Royce engines? I mean, you're talking a huge amount of money.
Oh yeah.
And who's going to pay for it? You know, so they're doing what they can do without doing that if they can. So it's going to be interesting to see how they solve it.
Boy, no kidding. Denny, happy Thanksgiving to you and your lovely wife, and we'll be talking with you again in the near future, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, we're going to meet a woman who went face-to-face or met face-to-face with Muammar Gaddafi, even though her brother was killed back in 88, that terrorist bombing of the Pan Am Flight 103. Lisa Gibson, she has a story to tell, and we want to hear it next on ATN.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
This medal today is a testament to his uncommon valor, but also to the parents and the community that raised him, the military that trained him, and all the men and women who served by his side. Let's give Sal one last big round of applause.
Can't say enough about this kid, Sal Ginta, who doesn't really want to be in that position. That's typical of the team atmosphere and the I got your back that you feel when you're in the military. As many men and women that I've talked to about that, that's why the military culture is so special. He gets the Medal of Honor, and we have been talking about this in the last couple of shows. Such bravery he showed. He just wanted to help his friend, and luckily, he was able to do what he could do. Unfortunately, his buddy didn't survive, but he took fire and he cut down a couple of Taliban who were going to take his friend away, who was riddled with bullets. And he helped a bunch of guys in his unit. He deserves the Medal of Honor, but you can't tell that to Sal Ginta. That's what is so at the core of this Iowa kid's heart. Here's what he said about being just an average soldier and really just being in the moment at the time.
By the time I finally realized, you know, what happened, which maybe took three running steps, but going over in my mind, it's like a lifetime. It's just reaction from there. And it wasn't anything, it wasn't, no more thoughts had to be processed, no more anything. It was just react. I'm just an average soldier that now is put in this incredible situation. And I do feel the pressure because what I'm representing is so much bigger than me and so much better than me. And I'm representing so many people that are bigger and better and smarter and more amazing. And yet they're pushing me up front.
Yeah, don't you like that? How he's just trying to give the credit to everybody else and talking about how the people around him are really so much smarter, and it was circumstantial and it happened in that split second that now is being drawn out over and over again. It just it makes you really like him and appreciate him, I think, that much more. The Medal of Honor, living young man, possessing the Medal of Honor, haven't had one since Vietnam. How about that? All right, we move on to a couple of other things. We go from something so serious and deserving to something really, to be honest, so frivolous. But it makes huge news when a royal gets married, and it hasn't happened in a long time. Prince William proposed to his girlfriend, Kate Middleton. So she talked about, because her engagement ring was the ring that Princess Diana received from Charles. She talked about getting the ring, well, really not getting the ring, but being nervous in meeting Prince Charles, and also wishing that she had met Princess Diana. And then Prince William said, you know, it really wasn't a surprise. Probably because they've been talking about it forever. Like any couple, that becomes the theme. When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? Are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? Doesn't matter if you're famous, wealthy, or royal. It's always the same subject. All you guys know it, too. Here's a snippet of that.
I was quite nervous about meeting William's father, but no, he's very, very welcoming and, you know, very friendly. I would love to have met her, and she's obviously she's an inspirational woman to look up to.
We've been talking about marriage for a while, so it wasn't a massively big surprise. But I took her up somewhere nice in Kenya and proposed.
Did you hear that? I took her out somewhere nice in Kenya and I proposed.
Oh, you forgot the R, the mysterious R, the British R after the A. It's Kenyer.
Yeah, Kenyer. Yeah, exactly. Just like I said, like any normal couple, that's just what he did. I mean, it was coming. We knew it was coming. I just had to get to it, and so finally I did. Speaking of getting to it, the Bush Library, they broke ground for it. It's going to be in Dallas, Texas, actually a center. And GW talked about the plans and just being now his place in history. He really didn't, you know, say too much. He was actually pretty quiet for George W. Bush. But here's what he said.
I believe that the ultimate responsibility of a leader is to not do what is easy or popular, but to do what is necessary and right. We've developed ambitious plans for our areas of focus: education reform, global health, economic growth, and human freedom.
There you go. Human freedom. Every single day, we all in America, no matter what, experience that. As upset as we can get at the nuttiness going on around us, you just have to pinch yourself once in a while and remind yourself that you are definitely still living in the best country in the face of the earth. No question about it. Look to the third world countries and look to what's happening in the Middle East, and I could give you a roadmap and actually tell you what I thought the worst places were. You know, we talk about it all the time, and you just have to remind yourself of that. A couple of other quick hits here that I wanted to mention, and it includes this thing with BP, since I'm going to Mississippi and the Gulf Coast, and part of that is about what's happened since the oil spill. BP and its contractors missed or ignored warning signs prior to that oil spill, the blowout, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico, and showed an insufficient consideration of risk, raising questions about the know-how of key personnel. That's what some technical experts are saying. There was a 28-page report released late on Tuesday. An independent panel convened by the National Academy of Engineers, and they said the companies didn't learn from their near misses. They didn't care. They didn't learn from them. And neither BP or any of the others, or federal regulators for that matter, actually caught or even fixed the flawed decisions that contributed to the blowout. So it's interesting because a professor of engineering practice at the University of Michigan and chair of this study committee released a statement saying that plugging off the well to seal it for future oil and gas production is continued despite indications of a potential hazard there. So they're saying several tests show that the cement at the bottom of the hole wouldn't be an effective barrier to any kind of an influx of oil or gas. And more than a month before the disaster, BP lost drilling materials, as you know, deep in the hole. That's the situation that hinted to the challenges of the well, but wasn't used to ultimately mitigate those risks. So the panel's interim findings, anyway, the second from an independent entity, this is the second one, are still in progress, but pretty much they say what's been discovered in previous investigations by BP and even the Oil Spill Commission, and they're still looking at technical information and forensic testing on the blowout preventer, which failed to stop the gusher as designed and, you know, got underway. So the report also said it may not be possible to ever establish exactly what happened because of the evidence that was lost when 11 workers died and the rig sunk. So that's the bottom line. When people talk about, well, you know, can't they go after them? Isn't there more that could be done? It seems like something else should happen. Part of the problem is that whole evidence thing. And we knew that from the get-go. You knew when those people died and when that sank, there goes the evidence. There's only so much you're going to be able to piece together. And, you know, pretty much that's exactly how it's laid out. Remember, you can always send me thoughts and quotes and ideas or problems with whatever's happening to americatonight.net. For the next couple of days, I keep mentioning this, we're going to be broadcasting from Mississippi and Biloxi and Gulfport, giving you the stories of what happened with the shrimpers and what the governor, because, you know, Haley Barbour was fighting a good fight, certainly, from Katrina on. And how has that area bounced back? How has it been revitalized? And what are the things that they're doing heading into the future? Because remember, there are a lot of people that vacation there, and there are a lot of people who cancel their vacations after the oil spill for fear of what was washing up maybe on the shores or worried about tar balls. But all is supposedly a lot better with the shrimp processing plant still blowing and going and the shrimpers out there. But we're going to get their stories and serve them up for you coming up on our next couple of America Tonights. Also, don't forget, Nail the Score on Wednesday, both this Wednesday and the following Wednesday in the third hour. Hang with us.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Glass spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
Authority, and he tops odds and ends. Who would I be talking about? I'm talking about criminals of a different sort, not terrorists. Charlie Rangel, after all those years of peddling influence, he finally got nailed, and he's 80 years old. 80 years old. I mean, he was one of the most influential House members. There's your problem. Power corrupts. So he was convicted Tuesday on 11 counts of breaking ethics rules. Now, what's the punishment going to be? You know, the punishment fitting the crime. So what will Rangel get? You know, this to me, I have a theory. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and that's not always, always true. But I think in my experience, usually there's a little bit more to it. And he was tap dancing too much. And then he was firing his legal team and wanted to represent himself, and he was dancing around all of that, wanted to try to delay the hearing. So you knew it. That's it. Then you know it. I thought it right away anyway, because this has been going on for years. But he clearly made himself definitely look guilty by doing what he did with the legal team and then trying to push all of it off and then walking out the other day. So the panel is eight folks, House peers. It took them 2 days, and then they laid down the hammer on top of old Charlie's head. This is a 20-term New York Democrat's career, 20 terms. How do you get elected 20 terms? How does that happen? So ultimately, we're talking about financial and fundraising misconduct, fraud, really. And it's a huge blow to the Democrats. First, you have the midterm elections, the Republicans, all the seats they got in the Senate, and then taking control of the House. But this is just another devastating blow because Rangel's face was everywhere. You'd see Rangel, you'd see Nancy Pelosi, you see Harry Reid. Think of the top Democrats that you can name, even if you don't know that many, and he certainly was one of them. And this is a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus, and he's not expected to resign. And I bet he won't do it. I mean, he is like a father figure in Harlem. They love Charlie Rangel, and rightfully so, because he's done a lot to help the people in his along the way in those 20 terms. He did a lot to help the people, but he really blew it with what he has done over the last couple of years. And he was obviously upset by the conviction. He doesn't think the ethics subcommittee, he didn't think he got due process. And he says he can only hope that the full committee is going to be treating him more fairly, in his words, and look at the entire 40 years of service to Congress before making any decision on sanctions. It doesn't matter. You could have a whole career and be pretty squeaky clean or pretty decent, and then, hey, your last 5-10 years, you blow it. I mean, you break the rules, and they're not going to take those 40 years into consideration. I mean, maybe in a punishment phase, maybe, but I'm thinking probably not. You know, it's like Andrew Cuomo, who's been around Rangel a ton. In fact, Cuomo went to Rangel's fundraiser back in the summer while he was campaigning on his own. And he said, look, it's a sad situation. Of course it's a sad situation. And these are our elected officials, though. You can never lose sight of that. We put our faith and trust that there's some integrity to the whole public service thing. And he blew that integrity up by doing what he did. I mean, he was just sucking up the dollars is what he was doing. And this is the guy who was running the show in the Ways and Means Committee. Wow. And he was also, by the way, in all of the shroud and cloud of things that he did, he was found guilty of failing to reveal or disclose, whatever word you want to use, $600,000 in assets and income if inaccurate reports to Congress. That's called burying money. I buried $2. They're coming after me. Go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, kid. You know, politicians can even break promises when they ain't in office. Al Gore promised us global warming, right? And it's colder than hell up here. I'm 300 miles straight north of Custer's Last Stand, and it's 6 weeks. It's the first day of winter is roughly 6 weeks away, right?
That's December right. 20th.
And it's 10 below here Fahrenheit. Well, 15 Celsius. So it's around zero, 10 below here. And Chris, and first day of winter. But anyways, President Obama has just written a book for kiddies, right?
Yes.
Have you got your copy yet?
No, not yet.
I'm waiting. I got my crayons out. I'm ready to color it. But, you know, a book written at the level of children, by children or for children, written at the level of an 8-year-old, that is different from every other book written by a left-winger in what way?
Well, but I don't understand. Why are you pounding him about this kid's book? What's the deal with that?
I'm not mad about the King book. I'm just saying that it's different from every other left wing book.
Okay.
That's the point. He can write him. It's good to write kid books. I'm not against.
Well,
kid
listen.
Books.
Look, not for nothing. All these other presidents wrote about their animals. Like socks and whatever, Barney the dog.
I think President Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt wrote a book for children. And it's all Democrats. Jimmy Carter wrote a book for kids. The point I'm trying to make is that this will fit in with every other left-wing book, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so all right, I got you. So yeah, just to throw it in the pile.
And just I know I go off on tangents all the time, but I got a scatterbrain mind. But about a week ago, a 14-year-old Christian boy was crucified in a city in Iraq by a bunch of Muslims. Is this 2010 or is this the year 2010? Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that.
And he, it wasn't just a, it wasn't just like one of those Filipino things where they put on a phony crucifix. The boy died, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you hear these terrible, horrible stories. I mean, you're right. When you, especially with kids, it's ridiculous what happens when something like that happens with children. But you know how I feel about that. Of course, there are so many barbaric, ridiculous things that go on. It makes, that make absolutely no sense to most of us. And that's part of the problem of trying to understand, what they're doing, what they do when they're following supposedly the letter of the religion.
Yeah, but crucifixion is a Roman practice. The Romans did crucify. The Muslims never crucified any. The Muslims either behead you or stone you.
Right.
I don't know where the hell they got the idea to crucify. Why did they crucify?
And to make a point, I think they were trying to make a point about the Christians.
And what,
okay,
what,
so we're going to crucify you. Well, the point was a bad point, and it was awful that it happened. Yes.
Yeah, and the left-wing media, they did 5 seconds of. I heard a story about 5 seconds long. If that had been a bunch of Christians who crucified a Muslim 14-year-old Muslim boy, that would have been the lead story for the next month. But it got 5 seconds of coverage in the, and Sarah Palin is right. The lamestream media is completely biased against Christianity. I'll let you go, Kate.
All right, Al. Duly noted. He says, he said left wing, I think, 10 times in that couple of minutes there, too, by the way. This is a wide open question. I mean, if you look at all of the publications that are out there, if you look at all the broadcasting, whether it's television, radio, or whatever, It's like somebody said to me the other day, if you had to break it down, how many do you think slant to the left? How many think slant to the right? How many are just in the middle? And it's like, which side is your bread buttered on? Answer that question, and then you know the answer. Then you know the answer to whatever it is you're watching or listening to. All right, we've got a thumbs-up moment, believe it or not, when we're talking about politicians here. The Senate Republicans actually did a full-scale assault, I mean, it really sizzling deficit spending Tuesday late into the night because they approved an earmark ban and a whole bunch of other belt-tightening resolutions is the best way to describe it. That's a big deal because there were some Republicans who didn't want to throw in on that, and they did. Like Senator Jim DeMint, it's interesting because he's been a long-time earmark foe, but he offered a moratorium along with Tom Coburn and 12 other senators, and they say it's identical to an earmark ban, that's supposed to be approved by the House of Representatives. So this is huge the doing this. Because, first of all, you're going to save a lot of money, but there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be happy because they're not going to get what they think that they've been promised back home, but there's been so much pressure to do that they're actually jumping on the bandwagon. So bravo, somebody listened. I don't care what party it is. Could we have some applause for that, please? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We mentioned this in a previous show. They have thick books that are like two Bibles put together of crazy earmarks every year that are printed up. It's the waste and the crazy amounts of dollars that fly out of Washington that go toward unnecessary things that are happening around the country in various states. Not for really always the serious need, but instead padding because somebody was in the right place at the right time. Whether it's the mating rules of flies or some other ridiculous thing. It's about time they stopped all of that, and this is the first step, baby. It's a big one.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today. Day complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Can you imagine the horror of hearing that one of your family members was killed on a flight, actually coming home for the holidays from overseas, and then it turns out it was a terrorist bombing, and that's Pan Am Flight 103. We've talked about it a lot here, actually, on America Tonight. Many of the victims' families have come on and shared their stories over the years. And we're very pleased to welcome Lisa Gibson to America Tonight. She's got a definitely a different perspective, I think, from the others that we've had on. And her message really is about forgiveness and reconciliation. And if you were listening to me when I told you you don't want to miss my conversation with Lisa, you heard me say that she met Muammar Gaddafi face to face. Can you imagine? Pretty much this is the man that I say is responsible for her brother's death, certainly the head of the country that was responsible. Lisa, thanks for coming on. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Kay. Appreciate it.
Well, first, I want to rewind the clock just for a second, because I can remember when that happened, how scary it was. There were a lot of students that were on that plane, and there was confusion as to what happened initially, and of course, the pictures were terrible, and that had to be just such a terrible moment for your family. Probably hard to put into words, but do you remember the shock of that?
Absolutely. In fact, I was a freshman in college. I'd just gotten home from college for Christmas break, and we were all just kind of waiting at home for my brother to come home for Christmas. And honestly, when we first heard the news on the television, we did not instantly know he was on that plane. It wasn't until the next day that we actually had that confirmed. So it wasn't even immediately that we knew it was him. We just saw the horror of it and were thinking about the families that were affected, not ever realizing that we could have possibly been part of that group. So it was a pretty challenging time, to say the least.
Yeah, no kidding. And your, what was your brother's name? What was he like?
Well, my brother's name is Kenneth Gibson, and he was 20 years old when he was killed. He was on his way home from Germany, where he'd been stationed in the U.S. Army. And, you know, he was probably pretty typical of most 20-year-olds. And for me personally, he was my older brother, and I hadn't seen him in 2 years, so I was really looking forward to spending some time with him on that Christmas break.
Mm. So initially, is your family, obviously, besides the shock, there must be anger and all those things that set in. How long did it take for the anger to subside within you?
Well, I don't know that it was something that happened all at once. It was more a progressive process. Because of the nature of this tragedy, we didn't even know who was responsible. So who are you angry at is the first question. You know, part of my response was to try to just throw myself into school and hope that I would make it all go away. So I was kind of in denial for several weeks until my brother's body was actually brought back. And then that's kind of when the process of the grief started for me. And it took many years for me to begin to really reconcile the anger and the emotions of wanting to see justice, but then transitioning to the point of looking at ways to forgive and then later to reconcile as well.
Yeah, tell us about that. And I specifically said that you did make big news when you met with Muammar Gaddafi and, of course, forgave him. What drove you to that point that you wanted to meet with a guy who, let's face it, you certainly know this, Lisa, is notorious, one of the world's worst terrorists. So how did you get to that point?
Well, it's definitely something that took many years. I mean, we had 22 years that we were really wrestling to see resolution of this case. And so I kind of worked through a process in myself personally of realizing that as a Christian, I was called to forgive. And so I knew I had some point to forgive, but then to forgive whom? At the time, we hadn't brought anyone to justice. It took years of sanctions. And so it was a process of recognizing that was what I was called to do, but walking that out practically. And then also looking at seeing justice happen, because I do believe that justice is an important piece in that process. And that's really what we kind of threw ourselves into. And I personally was involved in that, tracked, you know, very closely with the trial. And as an attorney, wanted to see that came to fruition, because I believe that spoke a very clear message to the country of Libya that this behavior was not acceptable. In many ways, we've seen Libya change the way they do business. But then after that all came together, I really felt like I needed to write a letter of forgiveness to Megrahi. A guy was convicted in prison. Mm-hmm. And did that shortly after the U.S. and Libya began to normalize relations. And then from there ended up going to Libya on my first trip. And then later had a chance to meet Gaddafi in September of last year as well.
So let me backpedal for a second. Megrahi, who you mentioned, of course, fast forward, he comes down with cancer. He gets that disease. He's ravaged with it. And he's let out of prison, if you will. The huge story, of course, last year and heading into this year. What were your emotions when that happened? Because I got to tell you, we were people calling America Tonight and myself. We were not happy about the fact that he got released, because I feel for you guys. I feel for the victims, certainly, and the families of Pan Am Flight 103. So what were you thinking when that happened?
You know, I kind of took a little bit of a different approach, because at that point I had already made a decision that I had forgiven him, whether he was responsible or not. In fact, when I wrote him the letter of forgiveness, I said, you know, there's been some level of question in this case whether you're responsible, but I said, as a Christian, I need to forgive you whether you're guilty or not. And so I made that decision, and I understood the rationale of the Scottish government, of course, when I found out that he was still alive and maybe didn't have a severe cancer. I had some concerns, but you know, as an attorney, I recognize that at the heart of justice is really more about deterring future bad behavior, and I didn't see him as a danger to society anymore. And honestly, we had a conviction, we had an acceptance of civil responsibility, and we had a payment of damages. Now, it took 22 years for that to happen, but from my perspective, justice was done, and, mm-hmm. you know, making him rot in prison in some way wasn't in any way going to bring my family member, mm-hmm. my brother, or anybody else's family back. And so I thought it actually communicated a very different message in the face of hate to respond in compassion and love. I thought spoke very loudly of a different worldview that the Scottish government was coming from.
And now you've made that pretty much what you do with your life. You try to help other people move through pain of loss, basically, and get them back to wholeness. And I'm assuming that a lot of that has to do with what we've been talking about in this interview through forgiveness, correct?
Absolutely. It's been a journey that I've had to wrestle through for 21 years. And I can tell you that one of the single biggest questions I get asked is, how can you forgive? And what I tell them is it's, first of all, it's not something that happens one day. It's a daily decision, but that you can have justice and forgiveness at the same time. They do, I believe, go hand in hand. And that's how I was able to reconcile it, is that it's not one or the other. I don't think revenge is the same thing as justice. And that's some of the statements I hear from some of the other family members, which I think in many ways miscommunicate what the desire is of others of us, is just to see justice done and to see a change in behavior. And so I communicate that same thing to others. I have a book that I wrote about this called Life and Death, A Journey from Terrorism to Triumph, where I hash out what it was like for me to walk through that process, and then to help counsel others in those processes is also what I do.
Yeah, wow, a real lesson in learning to forgive. How do you honor Kenneth's memory? Do you just keep him close to your heart, or is there something that your family does, because it's this time of year?
Well, you know, on the 20th anniversary, I was actually in Libya and focusing on reconciliation. That was kind of the most concrete way I thought I could respond, and the idea would be to see some kind of good come out of it, to sort of overcome evil with good. And so that's why I've kind of focused my efforts in trying to prevent terrorism and building relationships and understanding, is that's the only way I believe I can make my brother's death not be in vain.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's great talking to you. I think some people will certainly, it'll resonate with a lot of people, Lisa. It's a real lesson in forgiveness that you were able to do that. And the book, again, is called Life and Death, The Journey from Terrorism to Triumph. Pick it up. Lisa, thank you, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Remember, you can always catch up with us through Twitter and Facebook by going to americatonight.net. And if you have any thoughts on what we're covering on the show, and specifically, wow, what a story, the brother who's in the Army, serving in the Army, and then there she mentions 21 years later actually coming face to face with Muammar Gaddafi and forgiving him, forgiving the situation, feeling like, okay, justice has been meted out here, so this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to reconcile that, and you're supposed to forgive. And you think of the sayings like revenge is a dish best served cold and whatnot. But how tough would that be to walk in her shoes, especially right after that happened and those decades going through that process? Once again, flip us emails at americatonight.net.